listening to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, June 18th. It is time to check in with Dr. Weiss at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners, Andy.
How are you doing this morning, Dr. Weiss?
I'm doing fine. I opened up the door to let out the dog, and I look up, and it's the sun up there. It felt like one of the Three Stooges comments. Is that the sun up there? I don't know. I'm new in town. I thought, whoa, I know the Mississippi's rising, and it's all close to flood stage, so got to pray for all these people that are struggling through these floods down in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just saw where this guy walked into this A&E church in South Carolina and killed 9 people, sat there and worshiped with them, and then opened fire. So I don't know. And now they're talking about we need to be, people in church need to be armed, you know, with guns. And so we have the concealed carry weapon here in Illinois. And I know there are people in some churches that do come to church with guns. I've had some pastors tell me that. And, of course, they can't do anything about it, and they never talk about it. But there are people now that are coming to some churches and because of conceal and carry, and they're loaded for bear. So it's just, I tell you, Andy, and the listeners, they have to kind of be shaking their head. In the days when I grew up, and perhaps certainly you and your parents, you know, you go to church, the doors are open, and everybody is fine. And well, I tell you what is happening and how sin has corrupted mankind.
Mm-hmm.
This continues to be seen over and over again. So it requires us to continue to go by a good set of knee pads and stay on our knees and do a lot of praying and sharing the gospel with people. So what I want to talk about here this morning is two things. I don't know if we'll get to both of them, but I mentioned last week about grappling with faith and the death penalty. And there's two scriptural passages that I want to first read off, and one is in Genesis 9:6. And well, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. And then you have the other side. Rescue those being led away to death, hold back those staggering toward slaughter. Now, and we might want to say, wait a minute, aren't those contradictory? No, they're not. Rescue, restoration, of course, is dealing with people in terms of, this is Proverbs 24:11. Rescue those being led away to death, hold back those staggering towards slaughter. Of course, we're dealing with people who are unbelievers. And that calls us to use law and gospel for those people in terms of repentance and faith. It has nothing to do with, as this article says from the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago, well, we have to take a look at these people now. And because, now here's the kicker on this one. This is really something. Kicker, of course, is not a very good theological word, but we know what it means. Now, I want you and your listeners to listen to this. This person, of course, believes we should not be using capital punishment. I don't know. I personally am not against it, but it is the law of the land in most states. Some states do not have capital punishment, but it is a left-hand kingdom law. And if a person disagrees with it, then you can write your state legislature or the government and speak your piece. We have that right within the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence to do that, and that's fine. But this person is mixing oil and water. Here's what this person says, and here's how people think why we don't need the death penalty. That is why some people think against it, and here's their reason. An innocent man, the Son of God, I'm quoting from this article in the Wall Street Journal, was put to death in a rush to judgment for political and religious purposes. This horrible but all too human decision should give all Christians some pause in relying on human judgment for this ultimate punishment. So they reflect back once again. It's kind of like an indirect blame of God in Christ, that we have the death penalty. So before we agree with the death penalty, we have to look at the death of Christ as certainly he was an innocent man. We understand that. He was without sin. But the innocent part kind of doesn't fly along with other people certainly more than, I don't know, I think they said there's been more than 200 people released from prison due to DNA, and I think that's fine. They have been found to be innocent, and they mentioned that there were some people put to death because we didn't have the DNA issue, you know, more than 25 or 30 years ago. But the system is the system. I'm not making light of the system, nor am I making light of those people who have undergone the death penalty. But I think it's not an easy situation for a lot of Christians to study. But I do think that this requires us not to take Christ and the Old and New Testament and put him in the front of this and say, look, we shouldn't be for the death penalty because look what they did to Jesus, and that wasn't the right thing to do. But it seems to me that Jesus, I know at least I can recall three occasions, and you may recall more, but he told his disciples, you know, the Son of Man is going to be brought before Pharisees. He's going to suffer. He's going to die, and on the third day be raised. And this has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has to happen. And it's not that certainly in the Garden of Eden, he certainly had a struggle. Not my will, but thine be done. So I think that to take this statement, an innocent man, Son of God, was rushed to judgment. You know, was it a rush to judgment? I don't know if I would call it a rush to judgment. Some people perhaps may say that. But a rush to judgment from the standpoint of Christ and comparing him to people that have undergone the death penalty for many and various crimes that have been proven, I think is what I would call it false logic. And so this whole issue, again, with the death penalty, needs to be, you know, people have their opinions on it, but I think, you know, how does a Christian, I'm not so sure sometimes how to answer this myself, Andy, you know, why do other people support the death penalty? Why do some people not support the death penalty? And so then they throw in the second part of this, not just Christ as an innocent man, and as if he shouldn't have been put to death, and clearly they did trump up the charges of blasphemy and take him to Pilate, and of course we know what Pilate said. But on the other side, then people say, you know, if you're against abortion, that is the murdering of a child in the womb of a mother, how can you then be for abortion? And so they mix the oil and water on these two subjects. So I think that those are the two arguments that people I have found tend to bring forth regarding the death penalty. So I'm just bringing this up this morning just to get people once again to think, to go back into the scriptures and to read the Old and the New Testament in terms of the story of Christ and the importance that this is in a left-hand kingdom. Some states, I know here in Illinois, they have postponed the death penalty for most people. Okay, well, that's the law. I'm not picketing on something like this. But it is a left-hand kingdom law. So I don't know where you are with all of this, but I think people have to be thinking about this because they're once again using Christ and then using the abortion issue to either justify it or not to justify it.
Mm-hmm. It is a tough topic, and that's why it's certainly a good topic for our conversations here, because you're right, it's confusing. Is it... is this simply a state issue? Where should we as Christians be on this issue? What do we need to consider when it comes to human life, even for those who have taken the lives of others or who have caused the, you know, something so tragic as to cause the death of many people?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, there are people that you hear, you know, I've already heard it this morning with this man who went into this church worship for an hour and then killed 9 people, including the pastor and one apparently a state representative in South Carolina. And so they said, oh, this guy should have the death penalty, or those 2 men who broke from the prison in upstate New York. And what they did, they didn't get the death penalty. But I think this calls us to look at how a Christian lives in the civil realm. You know, this is kind of a difficult situation for a lot of us when we see what goes on around us. And a lot of us want to react and grind our axe and go after people and make statements that aren't terribly Christian, when in fact what we ought to be doing is praying for all people, that, and certainly in the left-hand realm, as Luther would say, you know, you don't want to drag the gospel of grace into that, but you do want to be a Christian that stands up for the Word of God. So, and in this particular case, of course, the Bible does talk about this, and clearly Exodus 21 says, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. That is to say, the punishment fits the crime. And so some people are very willing to say, no, I'm not for the death penalty, but I am for this. So what I'm looking for is, at least when I've talked about this briefly, are people consistent in their faith? And I think this particular sort of topic brings, as you have mentioned, a struggle to the life of a Christian. And I'm not sure what I think about this yet. And I think that's okay to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's fine. Or they may say, I don't know, and that's okay as well. But of course, then they say, well, what do you think, Pastor Weiss? And then I give them my reasons for this. If I lived in a state where the death penalty was not permitted, then I live in a state where the death penalty is not permitted. And if I feel that we should have the death penalty, then I have to come up with not just an opinion, but there may be an opinion backed up with facts. And quoting the scriptures, not just in an individualistic, well, here's one Bible passage like I quoted that justifies it. But I think this is one of these areas where Christians may not come to a biblical conclusion on this, but in fact may come into the conclusion, I'm not sure where I stand on this, but I'm going to continue to read the scriptures and talk to other people and be informed. And that's kind of where I'm going with this. Because I don't think you want to compromise your faith and then start to say, well, it's good here but not good there.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to say, I'm not sure where I'm at with all of this.
And to continue to consider it in light of the scriptures and what do the scriptures bring to bear on this topic? Well, sounds like a conversation to continue. Dr. Weiss, thank you very much.
Okay, well, God bless you and your listeners. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Coming up in just a little bit, we have our study of the Daily New Testament reading. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.